Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
You're the God of fire.
Hallelujah. Do you have something tonight that you know only Yahweh can do it? Hallelujah. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you've tuned in tonight. Grace and peace be unto you, my brothers and sisters. We pray that you have had a great day. Amen. What a great day to be alive, and more greater than we are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that God is to give you something tonight, amen, on this broadcast that will give you strength and encouragement to go on and press on to go on further with him. We are Assistant Pastor of Light the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our co-founders, Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones. We are located at 583 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge. Hallelujah. And we are so excited about what God is doing because we are trusting the transition. Hallelujah. We're trusting the transition, meaning we believe in where God is taking us. We trust where he's going to take us. Amen. We, you know, a lot of times we believe in our GPS, but we don't want to believe in what God is saying. We got to make sure that the Spirit of God is leading us. Amen. Because he can see. Amen. He's above. Just like that. The GPS has that thing in the sky that tells them where you need to go. The Holy Ghost is above and telling us exactly where we need to go. So let's trust the transition where God has taken us. He's got a plan for us. He said, I got a plan for you to prosper you and give you a hope and expect it in. So we thank and praise God tonight. We hope and pray that what you hear tonight would bless you. Amen. You'll be able to bless somebody else. Amen. We thank God for... We have services every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, and we have Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have a Bible study on Wednesday at noon, and you can get it on the same phone call, the same line you dial tonight. And then at 7 p.m., we have it in person, amen, and YouTube, and on our church website, comingtothelight.org. So we thank and praise God for everything he's doing with us. And we know that we want to say to you all, make sure that you stay safe during this time, amen. And while you're doing your shopping and all that, be watchful and prayerful, amen, because mm-hmm. God wants us to always watch and pray, amen. So tonight we have a man of God who is well able and well capable to deliver the word of God tonight, and he is none other than Minister Joseph J. Jones. So we're going to ask him to come on right now. We have him live right now to come on and introduce himself and let us know what God has for us tonight. Minister Jones.
Praise the Lord, everyone. How are you doing this evening?
Amen.
Pastor Butterfield, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. We'd like to say good evening to everyone who's listening tonight. We thank God for the opportunity again to speak to the people, God. And we thank you for the Butterfield being obedient to allow God to use you all to continue this broadcast. And we just thank God for the day, again, like you said before, being alive and healthy and well, and God is using us to do great things.
Amen.
As Pastor Butterfield and Sister Butterfield have said, my name is Minister Joseph Jones, and I just want to give you a word of encouragement tonight. Hopefully something else to be said that will help you along the way and encourage you at the same time. I'd like to devote your attention to Exodus. And it's going to be three different scriptures. It's all in the same Old Testament. Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 22 and 24. And then we're going to go to Exodus 17, 1 and 2, and then Numbers 20, 2 and 5. And you'll see the relevance, you'll see the continuation of in these scriptures, the same things is happening over and over and over again. And you can tell the people have not got the message. So, again, we're going to go to Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 22 and 24, then Exodus 17, 1 and 2, and then Numbers 20, 2 and 5. Out of the King James Version, it'll be read as follows. And so Moses brought Israel through the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came into Meriah, they could not drink of the water of Meriah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Meriah. And the people murmured against Moses, said, "What shall we drink?" Exodus 17, 1 and 2. And the King James says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel joined from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we might drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?'" And then the last chapter, last verse, Numbers, the 20th chapter, verses 2 and 5, 7 and 8, and 11 and 12. And they read as follows. Verse 2, "And it said, there was no water in the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." I hope you see the consistency of what the children of Israel was doing in these three scriptures. "And the people chided with Moses and spake, saying, 'Would God that would have died when their brethren died before the Lord? And why have he brought us, the congregation of the Lord, into the wilderness, that we and our cattle die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us into this evil place? It is no place to seed or of figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink.'" Verse 7 and 8, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou the Aaron, thy brother, and speak to ye to the rock before thy eyes, and he shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them what out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." The last two verses, verse 11 and 12. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, 'Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye should not bring the congregation to the land which I have given thee.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, with hope upon your word. Lord, I ask you to use me as a yielding vessel unto your spirit. And Lord, I ask you, God, that you will give me what is needed to be said to your people tonight. And Lord, that they will have something to carry with them. And Lord, to have something to encourage them along the way. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. Lord, I say, hide me behind you, Lord, that it be all of you and none of me. And Lord, that you will use my lips to carry to speak the word to your people. And that they will be blessed and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I look for a subject tonight. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
Don't close to the edge.
Now, I know y'all, some, I know you're laughing because that sounds very familiar. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
Oh.
I know some of y'all back in the day knew about this song that was written by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Fly, was called a song called The Message. And The Message was a great rap song, some people would say, ever written. But the message in the song was the message. And what Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five was trying to get us to imagine what it was like to grow up in the hood and straight out of a gritty place from the front line, from the first line to the last line, they wrote. They gave us a sense of how hard life was living in an impoverished inner city. Let's stay with me just with it for just a second. The social consciousness of this song described the hopelessness of an environment that was full of oppression, the violence and tragedy, they barely survived it all. And any given second, Grandmaster Flash would tell you that he almost lost his mind and during the battlefield of his mind. And even coping with the mechanisms, he could keep from resorting to violence and hurting someone or joining others in illegal activities. But the song, the message, is still saying today. Millions of people living in poverty, dealing with unemployment, suffering from oppression and abusive relationships, are using drugs to cope because they feel trapped in their environment with no way to escape. Well, Brother Jones, what does the song, the message, has to do with the scriptures you just read? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's a message, both the scriptures and the songs, that will suggest to us life gets so chaotic sometimes it pushes us to the edge and makes us want to lose our mind. In the scriptures, we see Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and they just came through the Red Sea, and the congregation was complaining about not having water. And it seems to me that someone would have grabbed a bucket or a canteen or something to put some water in to carry with them to the other side. But because they were complaining and they were so fearful, they forgot to even think about the promises God had gave them, and nor they thought about needing water on their journey. See, this is what complaining and murmuring would do to you, because you're not thinking correctly. See, the issue was here that they complained to Moses so much, again, they couldn't even think right. And I need to warn you, be careful about murmuring and complaining against the leaders of God. This is not only towards the pastor, but it's also to anyone that God chooses to use. I'm going to say that again. This does not just go towards the pastor or the deacons or those in leadership. This is anyone God chooses to use. So next time you go sit in a certain seat, don't murmur and complain. Just follow the directions, or you might find yourself in a hot seat with the Lord. See, the first incident God provided water for Israel, for the Israelites, was in Exodus 15:22-25. Then the second time it happened, God provided water for them, was in Exodus 17:1-6. And then the third time, do you see the actions of the people again in Numbers 20:1-11? In all three instances, the congregation murmured and complained about being taken from Egypt, brought through the wilderness to die, and not having water to drink. That's all the children of Israel was concerned about. All three instances, they complained. All three instances, they was worried about themselves. Isn't it just like some folks you would call some friends? People you would say, if I was you, I'm with you until a problem arises. And then they would say, you know, I don't know why you did that in the first place. That was dumb. And see, people like that will always be with you as long as all the plans work out. But as soon as things go left field, they will be quick to say, man, I don't know why you did that in the first place. Understand Moses striking the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock to receive water caused Moses to miss out on the promises. If you go back and read your Bible in Numbers 20 and 12, God said the congregation will not enter into the promised land because of the unbelief. And then if you read a little further in Deuteronomy 32:51-52, shows Moses' denial to enter into Canaan. So what God did was Moses and Aaron was told by God that you're not going to take these people who have been complaining about the same thing over and over again into promised land. And then God had to turn around and tell Moses, you ain't going either because you disobeyed what I said. Again, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. See, most of the time when people hear this statement, they mean they're about to go off on somebody because they're tired of being abused or what's been happening in their life. And it makes them want to just say, I'm just want to get it over with. But God mm-hmm. is going to use it, and your it could be whatever it is. You know, whatever your it is, mm-hmm. God going to use it and can use it for a blessing, for a turnaround tonight. Mm-hmm. See, I'm here to tell you that God is in the turnaround. At this point, mm-hmm. we get to the edge, and we realize that we can't take any more problems or issues. But God says, mm-hmm. because you're on the edge, I'm going to turn this situation around for your good. God is saying to mm-hmm. you are just where I need you to be. So you can see there's nothing left but you to turn back to me. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the children mm-hmm. of Israel was that they were always complaining. Every time you turn mm-hmm. around, they was always complaining and murmuring. And why?
Yes,
because they was always thinking about themselves. Every time the Israelites mm-hmm. came into a bad situation, God blessed them and then turned right around, the Israelites that is, and forgot the deliverance and started all over again murmuring and complaining when the situation mm-hmm. arrived again. How soon we forget. See, hear me out, people of God. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to go through situations back to back to get you to change your mentality from complaining to praising,
mm-hmm.
from murmuring to trusting, and stop speaking the language of doubt to speaking the word of God over your situation. See, the Bible mm-hmm. makes it plain. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then James turns around and says, James 3 and 10 says, watch this, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren,
wow.
He's talking to the whole church. He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be so.
That's
now,
right.
How in the world? See, I guess the children of Israel didn't go to Bible study that night when they read those scriptures because they forgot about those things. How can you bless God and curse God out of the same mouth? It says it should not ought to be. And then the Bible says about life and death is the power of the tongue, and you're going to eat those things that you speak. So, people of God, if you need to, you need to make up your mind tonight. The next time you are confronted with a situation, you will speak the word of God over the issue, or will you speak the language of defeat? See, think
Amen.
About this. When I'm complaining, I'm really not considering what God has said or already said about the situation. I'm already doubting. See, the thing is, are you going to pout or are you going to praise? Are you going to retreat or are you going to rejoice? See, I want you to know there is power in your praise. But it's no power in pouting. See, the children of Israel had it bad. They always complaining and murmuring. Can you see what they did in all three scriptures? Repeated bad thinking, bad behavior. See, during Moses' tenure as a leader over the children of Israel, Moses had to deal with the congregation time and time again. These jokers having sex parties, committing adultery, building a golden calf to worship, and continuing to murmur and complain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the pattern here with the congregation? In other words, these people was acting like church folks. Can I be real about it? see, church folks are people who complain. Now watch this. Church folks are people who complain that they are hungry, but when you feed them, they complain about what's being served. Come on now, folks.
Right.
Look, church folks are people who will go to church on Sunday morning and on Sunday afternoon curse you out in the parking lot. The same church folks are the same people who would advise you or ask you for your advice and turn right around and tell you you don't know what you're talking about when you don't give them what they want to hear. But I thank God that we don't have those type of people listening tonight on this broadcast. See, what I'm getting at is the fact that people did just what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. See, that's the same about the church folk. That's the same thing about the people, the children of Israel. They had no regard or respect for the leader or no reverence unto the Lord, their God. See, if you read your Bible, you will find several instances and occasions where the children of Israel disobeyed God and the leaders. And this is just one prime example. Three different times this has happened, had they murmured and complained towards the leaders of the church. Look, check this out. The children of Israel went as far as, watch this now, voting Moses out of office when he went to the mountain to have a visitation with God on their behalf. Now, ain't that just like church folks who trying to take over when they're trying, when you are trying to seek God for their guidance, and they are busy making their own rules and regulations and trying to take over the church. Again, that's church folks. And you can only do but pray for them. Now, I'm going to the mountain to visit God, to seek guidance for your life. And you down there having a party. You down there celebrating and reverencing a golden calf who can't do nothing for you and murmuring and complaining. But see, Moses had to read his word because if he'd have known what Romans 8:31 said, it said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? See, if Moses had read that, he would have known that I don't care how much you try to push me, I'm not going over the edge. See, Moses had to know that God was on the side because he was bringing Moses to the – now, you got to know that God is on your side. If he's bringing you to the top of the mountain early in the morning to sit down and have a conversation with you, you got to be somebody special. But Moses should have known God was on his side, and he knew that God would be with him. And he should not allow people to push you to the edge. See, let me tell you something. So you people are listening. You know, a lot of people, when they get saved, they think they all want to be preachers and pastors. But let me tell you something. It's not easy being a leader. It's not easy being saved. And see, you want to be a leader, and you want to be a pastor, but you don't have no training. And then you get in the – see, look, being a leader in the workplace, being a leader in politics, and especially in church, is not an easy task. You must be called back up to lead the people even when you don't want to be led. Or even though you don't want to lead them. See, some people just want to get paid. I'm going to show you some examples. In the church, it's the same way in the world in certain instances. See, people in the world, people want to get paid, but they don't want to do no work. Let's go a little further. I'm going to hit some toes now. I'm going to go a little further now. Some women want to be a man to take care of the house, but they don't want a husband. See, that's the difference. See, and let me go a little deeper. A lot of times the congregation wants a preacher, but they don't want a pastor. See, what I'm trying to say here, in other words, church folks and people are serious about their not well-being and their relationship with God. They want to be taken care of, but they don't want to be obedient. They want the blessing, but they don't want to be obedient. They want people to tell them a good word, but they don't want to be obedient. And see here in the scriptures, you see time and time again, Moses had to deal with the children of Israel, disobedience, murmuring, and complaining about their situation while they was going through the wilderness. See, we look at a problem so much, we forget about the promise. Because if you're going through something, you're not there at the same time. And you're going through something, you're not stuck where you're at. It's a process. But see, if you know the song, the message by Grandmaster Flash, and you know your Bible, you can compare Moses and them and see that both of them was pushed so much and so far, you just wanted to do something to some people. You just want to do something. You want to lay hands on them and not just pray for them. Come on, just be real about it. I saw a TV show one time. I know y'all some Martin fans out there. David Alegria told Martin, he said, "Lord, if he say one more thing, strike him dead." And you see, sometimes you get pushed that far. And David Alegria was a preacher. But see, Moses was about to lose it. Instead of Moses taking a step back and going to God and asking him for patience and direction, Moses allowed the people to push him to the edge. And if you don't get anything out of this sermon tonight, please take this one piece of advice. Don't let people make you miss out on your blessings. See, the whole lyrics to that song, the message, says, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm not trying to lose my head. But as Christians, we need to change that last line. And a matter of fact, just the last word. See, we can tell folks, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. But I'm not trying to lose my blessing. See, we can use some of the stuff of the world, but we got to use the word of God to correct the wrong. See, to be honest with you, a lot of people do not care if you don't make it in. Let's be honest about
that's
it.
Right.
They just care about their situation at a point of time. Mm-hmm. See, not understanding mm-hmm. that they are giving you grief as a leader mm-hmm. by doing all this murmuring and complaining. See, this pushes you to a boiling point. It mm-hmm. makes you really want to throw in the towel. And how many of you out there tonight can know? There are many preachers and pastors have said on Saturday night, I'm ready to quit because people, I mean church folk, don't want to live right. How many times mm-hmm. you just hear people on Monday morning say, you know what, I'm going to turn in my resignation because I'm tired of quote-unquote church folk. See, even as a mm-hmm. Christian, people can push your buttons to make you revert to your old ways. You don't believe me? Remember the old saying in the streets? Look, don't you push me, because I'm close to the edge. But then they go further than that. The old saying in the streets: look, I ain't no killer, but don't you push me. In other words, look here, I ain't killed nobody, but if you keep pushing me, you might be my first victim. See, people don't understand that you can push people to a point of no return. There are people. There should not be people in Christ that will allow people to push them to the point of pissivity. Oh, y'all do know what pissivity means, right? That's the highest point mm-hmm. of being pissed off. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what that word means. See, if you are called by God, you should know what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Mm-hmm. And whom he called, then he also mm-hmm. got justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. So what I'm saying is just remember, people are going to be people. You can't make grown folks do anything they don't want to do. But if you know what Romans 8:30 says, he said he predestinated you, he called you, he justified you, so you don't have to worry about nothing. But because God is so sorry, and he loves us so much, he never gives up on us. And he continues to try to reach us through the word and his leaders that he put it before us. So why do we give the people of God and the leaders of the body of Christ so hard of a time? I'm going to tell you why. Let's be real about this thing. If Christians complain and murmur all the time, this is really saying that they don't trust God. Hear what I'm saying? When a Christian complains and murmur all the time, this says they do not trust God. They do not believe in his word. Because you're complaining about something God has already fixed. You're murmuring about something God has already taken care of. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:4-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you trust in the Lord, what you complaining about? And if you lean in not to your understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So if he give you direction, what you murmuring about? See, what the children of Israel was murmuring and complaining about really was that they was comfortable being slaves and complacent where they were at. Because look here, they didn't have to change their lifestyle, their habits, or trust God for deliverance. In other words, they were satisfied being in Egypt, not having to worry about their next move or their next meal. See, even though the children of Israel were free from Egypt, as they went through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, they still had a slave mentality going through their journey and on the way to the promised land. That's sad. You are free. Think about this. You're a slave running from slavery and from the master, but you're complaining about you ain't got no food. You're complaining about you ain't got no water. So you'd rather run back and be whipped and beat and not paid for all the work you do. Just to eat and sleep. See, the definition of complaining means being discontent. And the definition mm-hmm. of murmuring means dissatisfied or not thankful. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people you know that way? See, the children of Israel wanted God's goodness and all of God's goodies that he provided mm-hmm. for them. But they didn't want to be obedient to the leaders and the instructions of God's word. It's sad mm-hmm. because we have this all the time. And I don't care how good your church is, you got one. And maybe it's you. And we hope it's not. But we need to stop murmuring and complaining. We need to put forth an effort to speak the language of God, which is productive for our lives. See, as I close tonight, God really had a problem with the congregation in Numbers 20 and verse 12. And because Moses, Aaron, and the congregation did not reverence God as a holy God, look what happened. Mm-hmm. He said, none of you are going into the promised land. Now, let me get out mm-hmm. about y'all, but think about this. How many of y'all was in a job and you worked there 20 years? Excuse me. And the day before you retired, you stole something and got caught. And they told you because of your disobedience to the rules, you're not going to get retirement. That's a bad thing. You didn't put in 19 years and 364 days. And you stole the day before you retired. Now you can't get the reward. That's the same thing that happened with the children of Israel and Moses and Aaron. And see, then let's take a little further. Look what happened to Miriam, the sister, and Aaron. They tried, the children of Israel didn't go as far as put the brother and sister against the leader, which their own brother. Because of Miriam complaining. Looky here, Aaron and Miriam. Moses has been up there so long, we don't know if he's coming back. He might be dead. So y'all two need to take over. You see how the church folks will get you to push you till you can get into something that you don't have no business into and to get you in all trouble and all y'all dead in the water. See, look, let's look at this in a natural way. As a parent, you would never give or do anything for your child if they did not respect or show you reverence to you as their guardian. See, where God is no different. He wants our whole heart. He wants our total praise. And he wants your obedience to him. God don't want you to come to him when you just want something. And you don't want your children to do you the same way. You see, but people will still try to take advantage of God's mercy and his grace. But sooner or later, God will say it's time to step up or sit down.
Yeah.
Or come up, or go out. So which one you want God to say to you? You know, I want God to say to me what's written in the scriptures in Matthew 25 and 23 and 20 and 21. He says, his Lord said to him, well done, thou faithful and good servant. And thou hast been faithful a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So if Moses would have done what God had asked him to do, if Moses would have just took the time out and stepped back and said, you know what, these people are pushing me so far, God, I can't take it no more. I'm about to lose my mind. And God would have worked those things out for him. God would have gave him some more instructions. God would have given him some more gracing. God would have given him some more patience. But he allowed people to push him. See, let me tell you something. I don't care what you say. Nobody can make you do nothing.
Amen.
Oh, I can tell you about that now. I know I said this one time before when I was in school, in high school, and not high school because they ain't working then in high school. It was old by then. When I was in elementary school, I used to tell my daddy every time I did something wrong, the devil made me do it. And guess what my daddy would say? I'm going to beat you and the devil. So what I'm trying to say is that I got pushed. I got pushed by my classmates, and I got pushed by pressure because I want to be in the in crowd. I want to be liked by everybody else. And I started doing stuff I ain't supposed to be doing because I got pushed. But see, I forgot. I had to go home. See, home was the master.
Yeah.
See, and if people don't understand that there are consequences for your actions. So stop telling people, you know, they made me do this. Or stop telling people, you know, y'all pushing me to the point of no return. Listen, the reason why Judas is where he is now, because he allowed those people to push him with money. See, you got to understand, you can get pushed by a whole lot of things. You can get pushed by envy, greed, money, pride, status. Mm-hmm. It can be anything. And so we
we have to understand that Moses was pushed because the people was wearing him in the church. Ain't that sad that you are a leader, a pastor, a minister, a deacon, and you trying to do God's work, and these folks worrying about what color the door is, what color the robes are, what songs they're going to sing, who are going with who, and what kind of car he's driving. What kind? See, people don't have anything better to do if they ain't got God on their heart 24/7.
Amen.
My daddy said you can say people do anything if they ain't got God in their life. And so I'm here to tell you tonight that as people of God, we can't allow people to push us to do anything but what God says for us to do. So don't push me, because I ain't moving. I ain't getting close to the edge, because I ain't jumping. All I'm going to do is tell you is I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. So, again, if you are listening tonight and you are finding yourself in a situation, think about what happened to Moses. Moses still had the opportunity to go to heaven, but he didn't get the blessings here on earth. So why live all your life? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why live your life? Why live your life under your privilege, not reaching what God has for you to enjoy your life, just to go to heaven? You can have heaven here on earth. That's what the word says. If you don't believe it, look at your Bible. This kingdom here on earth. So, here tonight, enjoy your life. Don't let people push you, because I don't want you to be no killer. I want you to be a lover of the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I feel you in the spirit over there.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We just give God the glory and give him the praise and give him the honor. Thank you for this word. I tell you, don't push me. Hallelujah. Don't push me. I'm close to the edge. Oh, my God. Lord, have mercy. If he came on a little late, he was coming from Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 22 through 24, and Exodus 17, 1 through 2, and I believe Numbers 20, verse 2 and verse 5, and then 1 through 12. Through 11. Mm-hmm. All right, but in a way, I just want to say, Mr. Jones, this is an awesome word, and a lot of times we do find ourselves complaining about if it's not one thing, it's another. We will even say those words, and when we could look at someone else's situation and see that we wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Amen. So I just want to thank God for where we are right now, in our own personal life and our ministry and all of that. And thank God for this word that you are bringing forth to us on tonight, and even those that are listening in on tonight and those that will listen in at a later date. We know that this word has really, really gone forth tonight, and we know that once you hear this word, it is going to touch your spirit, and I can feel the spirit of God moving in here on tonight. So we just thank God for you, Minister Jones, and we do want to hear from those of you that are out there in radio land tonight. We want you to press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air. We want you to just come in and just let us know if you enjoyed the message or if you want prayer or if you have a comment.
Amen.
You can come on. And while they are doing that, Minister Jones, you mentioned about don't murmur and complain. And I want you to help us to seeing how we can not do that. And I know living in the spirit, but what are some of the steps that you would give us that would encourage us not to be murmuring and complaining?
Well, first of all, you got to think about what is you complaining about. Because as I pastor, a lot of things could be worse than what they really are. See, really, you're spoiled, or you just want to have your way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things, don't get me wrong. There are things that are worth discussing or conversating about. But the thing is, we don't supposed to stay there on it. I'm going to show you for example. You go on to work and you get a flat tire. Now you complain about, I'm going to be late. Well, God might have just let you get a flat tire so he accident. See, we got to stop thinking about the negative of a situation. Think about, you know what, God, you might have got me sitting here for a minute because somebody just ran into the office, shut it up, and you kept me from being in that office. Or you headed to the bank.
Right.
Whatever you need to do, they got robbed. See, we don't think about what could have happened. We always think about why we didn't do what we wanted to do. And we've been held up. It's what we want all the time. And see, what we got to do is stop having the mindset of complaining and have a mindset of praising. I thank God that I can get up in the morning and I'm putting a Q-tip in my ear instead of my mouth and a toothpick in my ear instead of my mouth. You understand what I'm saying? See, we take those little small things for granted. And I say that because I almost did it today. I was thinking about something because I had ate something for lunch, but I was cleaning my ear out and almost put the toothpick. I had to laugh at myself. I was putting it in my mouth because I was thinking about getting a piece of meat out of my teeth.
Don't jump.
You see what I'm saying? But I'm saying I'm thankful because we complain about the small and simplest things. I'll tell you one thing about me right now. When I was in my old church, they used to ask me all the time, Brother Jones, Deacon Jones, Minister Jones, why do you always smile all the time? I said, because you don't know what God brought me from. You don't understand how God changed my life. So what do I got to be mad about?
Right.
Unhappy Christian in this world because we got our mind on the wrong thing. Philippians 4:8-9 says, think on these things. And those things are just, pure, and true. Lovely, good report. And those things you got to think about, because if we think about them, it'll get our mind off of complaining and murmuring. But again, the world will have us to say we're grown and we can do what we want to do, and we got the right to complain.
To do it. My Lord.
And we wonder why we get short from getting our blessings, because God says, as long as you're complaining, I'm not blessing.
Thanksgiving and that.
Yes.
Wow, that was a good answer. And we still want to hear from you guys out there in Radio Land. We see you out there. So press 1 on your phone. We will bring you live on the air. Truly, it's been an awesome, awesome word. And it really has touched my spirit and touched my heart to hear this word, and knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could even ask or think about. And sometimes when we have things in our spirit that we be complaining about, may not even verbally say them out. But with this word coming forth on tonight, it just encouraged me even the more to not murmur and complain and to obey God and to listen to God and know that God will lead me and guide me, guide us and direct us in everything that we do. Amen.
Look, Sister Butterfield, let me give you another example. See, people will make you think that you're crazy sometimes. But check this out. Complaining and bringing something to a person's attention is two different things. Use this for example. You go to a restaurant, you order your food, and they mess your food up, okay? They give you the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You said no tomatoes, no onions. They put it all on there, okay? You go to the manager, or you go on to the waitress and say, hey, listen, hey, you made a mistake. That's not complaining. That's bringing them to the attention that they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. What complaining is, you know what, every time I come to church, they always ask me for money. Every time I come to church, they stand 3 hours long. And every time I come to church, see, that's complaining. Being discontent in your situation. So listen, I'm not telling people not to stand up for what they believe is right. I'm saying don't dwell on things that don't mean nothing.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, I get what you're saying. Like we come to church and we got this special place we want to sit at, and somebody's sitting in that seat. That is complaining. Why didn't I put someone in my seat? You ain't got no seat. Go this way. You can see that. Where
Maybe Lord
wants
you to stop sitting in the back. He might want you to stop sitting in the back once you get close to that file. They can burn somebody complaining off you.
Right.
Yes, my goodness.
It is real out here.
And so, you know, listen, let me tell you something. You know when you in the vein of God, when this stuff comes up before, during, and after, you get prepared for a sermon, and everybody that knows that have had to preach a sermon or been hear from God. Let me tell you something. Bishop Jones was saying some stuff at church on Wednesday, Sunday. I'm jumping over the chair, and I'm saying, this man all in my sermon, he don't even know what we're going to talk about tonight. I hear it again from some other places, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness. People don't believe, they don't understand. They complain about everything. My shoes too tight. Well, buy a bigger size or cut them toenails. Do something. Just stop complaining. See, it's a remedy to it. But see, listen, what I'm saying, Pastor Butterfield, look, it's a remedy to it. We just want to take the easy way out. We want to complain about it. Let's do it. We still taking up money for the building fund? Yeah, because you won't pay your tithe.
You know you're right.
No, I'm telling you now.
I've been in church all my life. I ain't been saved all my life, but I've been in church all my life. And I know we are talking about the wrong things. We ain't helping folks. We hindering folks because the people are watching our lives. And they're saying, if you save Pastor Ann and Steve Butterfield, if y'all save and y'all complaining, I don't want your God. Well, Pastor Steve and Butterfield walk around smiling, praising God, and they ain't got no crucifying lips and murmuring and complaining about stuff around life. I'll say to you, what is it about y'all? Every time I turn around, y'all smiling. Y'all joyous. Y'all got new cars. Y'all going on trips. Y'all got a good health. They going to ask. And that's what we're supposed to be an example for. For people who are watching our lives, you are pushing people
that's
to
it.
Christ, or you're pushing people to hell. Ain't but two ways to go. This ain't no roundabout in Christian life. There's no roundabout in Christian life. Either you're going north or you're going south.
That's right.
Simple as that.
That's right.
You're bringing people to Christ and you're sending them straight to him. And they watch your life and they're the reason why they're going, because you ain't doing what God say do. You got to stop complaining and murmuring and start praising and let God do what he do in your life.
Give him God the glory.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Glory. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the word.
Amen. Amen. So we see nobody raise their hand. So what we want you to do is just offer prayer for the listening audience tonight, and then we'll be ready to go.
Yes, sir. I just want to say for all those that are listening tonight, I thank God for you all that took the time out, because I really believe anytime you take your time out for God, God calls out some time for you on things that you need and desire to have according to his riches and glory. And I pray tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will use this word tonight to prick our hearts and our minds, to get us to understand that these words of complaining and murmuring is not from you,
mm-hmm.
that you are giving us
mm-hmm.
words of life and not of death. God, you gave us a test, and then you turned around and gave us an answer. You said that you choose
mm-hmm.
life or death. And if I was you, you said choose life. Why? Because
mm-hmm.
life is more abundantly that you have given to us,
mm-hmm.
Lord, through your spirit. And we should have the spirit of you, which is joy and peace and love, the fruit of the spirit upon our lives. And Father God, we ask you right now, those who have a spirit of murmuring and complaining and dis-ease and those things in their life that they don't feel like is going right, let them seek you first. Let them seek you, Father, that you will give them the direction and give them the fortitude to stand up as Christians. And we're not talking about, Lord, those who are not saved right now. We're talking about your people. Lord, give us the language of heaven, Lord, that we seek first you, the kingdom of heaven. And then we will do the things that you have us to do, Lord, that we will bless others to come to you. And, Lord, they will see the joy of the Lord in our lives that we will share with them. And, Father God, if there's somebody listening tonight that is not saved, Lord, we ask you, Father, that you will touch their heart, change their mind, Lord, that they will give their life to you, and that they will see the glorious and loving Father that you are to us. Lord, we thank you right now for tonight. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we ask you again to bless the Butterfields and all those who are in cahoots and embedded with this broadcast to make this thing come forth. Lord, we ask you to give them a special blessing. And those who are listening also, God, we thank you for the blessings of you upon our lives. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Lord, make us better today on tomorrow than we were today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the word.
We appreciate
it. Make sure you tell your neighbors every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Butterfield.
Have a great day.